Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're back from that break. We, like I said a minute ago, we're broadcasting remotely. We were about, 600 miles from Memphis. We traveled from Memphis yesterday, like we just got through saying in the first segment. We came all the way from Memphis, Tennessee to Traverse Rest, South Carolina. All my friends are up here. I'm so totally humbled. They've come up here this far to honor Blood River Radio, to honor all of our co-hosts and just what we've done for the past 5 years. So the next guest we got is a guy I've been knowing for 15 years, 16 years?
Let's see here. Try 22 years.
22?
22 years. You know how I know that, Eddie? Because I was running for office in 2002. So I guess that would make it 21 years, because here we are in 2023. 23 minus 2 is 21.
God.
21 years.
21. Damn.
The day we first met. Now, we told the story yesterday in that ungodly long car ride. We were in the car from... until our eyes were rolling.
Yes.
But but we had a great time. We had a great time with our travel companions. We had a great time talking and joking and cutting up, but also remembering and sharing some fun stories from the past while still looking ahead to the future. And we told the story about, we were telling Sam about how we met, how I was working your neighborhood when I was running for the state legislature and left. You didn't answer the door. And I know you didn't answer the door because I left a little campaign brochure. The campaign brochure had the address for my headquarters. And by the time I got back making the rounds that night, knocking on doors, I had a note at my campaign headquarters from you saying you'd like to learn more. You were going to vote for me. You wanted to help me out in any way you could. And that's how Eddie the Bombardier Miller and James Edwards first got together. I was running for the Tennessee State House in 2002. And a lot of twists and turns since then, to say the least. But that's how we first met, and we're still together. Still together. Had a great time yesterday. Great time today.
Yeah. Oh, well, God. We'll have to, in future shows, we'll have to tell how great that we went to a Confederate Civil War, where you want to say, however you want to say it, museum. It was unbelievable, off the scale. We saw weapons that will fire. We saw a rifle that was made during the war between the state, during Lincoln's invasion of the North. This rifle was a sniper rifle. This is a true story. There was a Confederate general out there with the artillery. He was standing over 800 yards away, and he told his men,
No. That was the Union general.
Yeah.
That was the use of the
Confederate. I'm sorry.
Yankee general.
That's right. The Yankee general. That's right. He said, there's no way they can even hit an elephant this far away. Well, you know, he didn't get out of the words out of his mouth good until a bullet hit him in the head, knocked him all the way
right
down.
Between the eyes.
Yes, surely did. It was over 800 yards away.
Like, he asked why his men were scared, because the Confederates couldn't hit an elephant from that far away.
Yeah.
And within seconds, it was right through his head.
Dead as a hammer. Dead as a hammer. And that rifle
shot 2,000 yards.
It made the precision of these weapons, and you know, not just the weapons, but the we saw the original. We saw the original separate the.
I got it right here. I'm looking at it.
Oh, great.
I'm looking at a picture of it right now. Eddie the Bombardier Miller and yours truly, your humble servant, James Edwards, along with Sam Dixon and Rich Hamlin and Sam Bushman, we actually laid eyes on one of seven.
Yes.
Original. I don't want to say a copy, because this was handwritten and hand signed, so it's not a copy per se.
Yes.
The original Declaration of Independence for the state of South Carolina.
Yes.
When the state of South Carolina seceded from the Union, this was it. This is the instrument that they used to declare that freedom, and we were inches away from it. Obviously, it was protected by plate glass, but we were looking at it, and this was the original article. We saw an actual cannon today
Stonewall
Jackson himself laid hands on. Stonewall Jackson himself seized this cannon that was used in war. We learned the history. I don't want to get too far out in the weeds talking about esoteric history, but we learned the history of the South Carolina red shirts. That we saw actually one of the red shirts that were used, and if it had not been for the red shirts, Reconstruction in the South wouldn't have ended. And so it was the red shirts who propelled Wade Hampton into the governorship of South Carolina during Reconstruction, and then Wade Hampton struck a deal with Rutherford B. Hayes to end Reconstruction in the South, and he would throw South Carolina's Electoral College to Hayes, who was a Republican. And it was because of the red shirts, though, who were protected Wade Hampton, that they were able to strike that deal with Rutherford B. Hayes and end Reconstruction. So we learned a lot of history today.
Did.
I mean, the guy who gave us the tour was just
amazing.
An incredible storyteller, just a wealth of knowledge. We saw not just – you go to some museums, and everything you see, everything you're looking at is a replica of the real deal. We saw the actual – guns and cannons. We got to hold a
they still work.
They still fire.
Yes.
Yep. We got to hold a musket with a bayonet that was used in battle. We got to hold a Confederate saber. We got to look at the South Carolina Declaration of Independence from the Union. I mean, it was just an incredible day spending good company and good fellowship. And
it's been a long road. James, 22 years ago. And this may be a rhetorical question. Did you ever envision that we'd be together 22 years ago, that we'd be doing radio up here in South Carolina?
So you tell me the night that we first met. I'm campaigning. I'm trying to win a seat in the Tennessee State Legislature. That 21 years later, I would have been by that point on the air 19 years. And then for 15 years of that, you as my co-host, and then for the last 5 years, you on Blood River. That's what I'm talking about. So much has happened since then. If you would have told either of us the night we met that we would be on talk radio and that we would have had all of this media attention and all of the people we've met, all the stories we can tell over 19 years of the political cesspool, now 5 years with Blood River, and that's what we're celebrating tonight. 5 years with Blood River. How did that... I mean, that was a fast 5 years.
I mean, it just seemed like...
Because it doesn't seem like you've been gone 2 weeks from TPC.
I know, I just can't... I know it's, you know, it seems surreal. Maybe I'll overuse
We're
that.
We're still fighting, though.
Yes.
We actually look better now than we did then.
I think so.
Men get better looking with age. Women get, of course, obviously much better looking.
Yes, they do.
We get better looking.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you can sum up... I know you speak hard to our relationship in a sentence or two. What has our relationship meant to you in the business? You know, you and me.
Eddie, this comes from the heart. And I'm going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to answer that question you asked. The relationship has been volatile at times. It has been a relationship that is, you know, anytime you are doing something, you're talking about two passionate guys. Passionate guys for a cause. I mean, sometimes things have gotten heated over the years. But we have had so many memories.
Yes,
we have done so much together that experiences that I could have never shared with anyone else. And then I have said this many times, and I mean it. Other than my father, if I'm taking fire,
I'm getting chills.
And I've told you this many times over the years. And this is the truth.
Yes.
If there's anybody that I would call, if my family was in danger, and I'm not talking about, I would want Eddie in my foxhole, although I would. But if somebody's coming to my house to do me harm, if my family is in danger, the first person I'm calling outside of my father is Eddie the Bombardier Miller.
I'm there, by God.
Out of all the men I've met some great men. Because I know Eddie is the guy who would fight to the end for his friends.
Got that right.
And it's been a true blood... A blood kinship over the 21 years, and it's a lot of different doors have opened, a lot of different memories, a lot of different experiences. But you know, to be able to be on a little R&R, have a little downtime this weekend, and to see museums and to see friends, and to actually take at least a 3-hour furlough to celebrate an accomplishment, a 5-year milestone. In this political climate, that's a tough thing to do, and
it's
you've
been
done
hard.
It. And you've done it with the help of, you know, obviously Sam and everybody at the network. But, yeah, I mean, this has just been our relationship's been one of a kind, to say the least.
Well, I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. It's been a unique trip. It's been a unique journey. And with that, James, I could not thank you enough for being my friend and staying with me all these years.
And putting this together tonight, I mean, this was something we got together. I don't know if anybody knows the backstory of this, and I don't mean to cut you off. You know, old habits die hard. Yes. Me and you are both both hosts, and we've both been co-hosts together. But this, we had this idea. I can't even remember. I'd have to ask Sam. Sam, when did we get the idea to do this for Eddie? I mean, it was last year, right? Been over a year. This night has been a year in the making.
God.
And it was Sam called me. Sam called me before you even knew it. He said, Eddie's 5-year anniversary is going to come up next year. Oh. We should do something for him. And this is the result of that. So you're thanking me. I want to thank y'all letting me be a part of it.
And I'm thinking everybody here. Well, folks, with that, I guess we will try to figure out who's going to be coming in next.
No shortage of people to choose from. You got to – hey, listen, folks, it's a packed room tonight, and it's all-stars.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Thank you so much, Blood River Radio, precious Blood River Radio family. Thank you for hanging on. We had to go to a quick break, like we told you several times before, just in case you're coming on the air right now. We are at a remote location. We're up here in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, and we don't have a high-tech studio or anything. We're kind of – Sam and the crew have put together kind of like a shade tree mechanic, so to speak. We used to say back in the 60s working on cars, a broadcasting outfit, but it's working really good. And we're pre-recording this. We're pre-recording. It's February the 7th. In the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2023, and that's where we are. And listen, if you've been tuned in, we've had one dynamite, one all-star after another. All these people have come up here, drove all the way up here, well, a lot for the Bombardier, for Blood River Radio, for our host. And like Sam said earlier, they come up here because they all love me. But I don't know, they probably wouldn't go that far, you know. But anyway, they're up here. And we've had, like we said, we had one superstar after another. We have one of my very favorite guys next. He's an intellectual. We call him Renaissance Man. He's a warrior. He's an intellectual. He's learned. And, you know, he's a great attorney, and he's well known. He was one of the founding members of the League of the South. And I could go on and on and on. And we don't want to embarrass Sam too much. But anyway, how you doing tonight, Brother Sam?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Blood River. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, hey, thank you so much. Thank you so much. This is our fifth year anniversary. I've said this several times before. We're going to say it again. I didn't think we would make it this far. In fact, when we started going, I remember me and Matt Goodwin, we said, there's nothing on earth we can say that needs to be said. We can't say it a year. And we had enough money to go for 1 year when we first started. But here we are 5 years later. And we've had a lot of great guests, and you're one of the greatest we've had on, Sam. So anyway, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into the League of the South, how you got into – I was with James, so I think we said been with James for 22 years. You've probably known him longer than that. I don't know. But tell us a little bit about your background, how you got to the League of the South, or maybe where you went to school, any of these wonderful stories you've told me in the past of – We've been having a great time today since we've been riding around. We went to a great Confederate museum. But, Sam, how did you get into the movement? How did you get into, like, the League of the South? What made you do that?
Well, you have to start far, far decades back before the League of the South. But, I grew up as a white Southerner. My parents were intelligent people and well-educated, and they thought for themselves, and they told us things that didn't fit with the official history we got in the schools. I've mentioned my father was a mild monarchist, and he used to point out that the night is worth having a monarchy for no other purpose than if you just could go into the post office, like in Great Britain, and have a picture of Queen Elizabeth instead of a picture of some temporary president vote-rubbing politician. And so, a little bit of independence of thinking, and as I went to school, I listened to stuff that was just absolutely untrue. They told us how, we had a history teacher told us how wonderful Abraham Lincoln was. And in the class discussion, I pointed out, I said, Ms. Hill, we're sitting in a city that Abraham Lincoln burned to the ground. How can he be such a great, sweet, wonderful person? And, of course, she responded by becoming angry and abusive, the way people like that do. But I'll end with this story, which it ends long before the League of the South. But when I was in about 10th grade, I was 15 years old, my oldest brother came back from Georgia Tech to have dinner. And he said he was going to go to a Goldwater meeting at Emory University that night. It was about 1963. So he asked if I wanted to go along, and I was interested, so I went. I didn't know much about Goldwater. But they had a speaker, and I went back to the back of the room to the book display. And there was a guy running the book display, and I was probably the youngest guy in the room, so he began chatting me up. And he had been to the same high school I'd been to, and he'd had problems with the same teacher I didn't like, Mrs. Hill. But he said something about McCarthyism. About something McCarthy came up, and I said, oh, he was a bad man. And this guy said, really? Why is that? And so I repeated what I had heard in school, that, oh, he accused innocent liberals of being, traitors. And he said, like who? Well, I couldn't answer the question. And he was very rude. He had not read How to Win Friends and Influence People. But he said, well, you obviously don't know what you're talking about. He said, you seem to be an intelligent kid, but you're talking about things, you're just regurgitating what you've heard in a textbook. You don't know anything about this. He said, really intelligent people read both sides or all sides before they make an opinion. And he said, have you ever heard about Alger Hiss? And I said, no, sir. And he said, would you be surprised to find out there was a man named Alger Hiss who was a high official in the State Department and a close personal friend of Eleanor and Franklin Roosevelt? He was on the Yalta delegation and helped draw up the agreement on Poland that turned Poland over to the Soviet Union? I said, well, I never heard of that. And he said, well, wouldn't that at least tell you why people would support McCarthy if that happened? That's why I think so. And he said, no, but you've never read a book. You just believe what your teacher said.
He was brutal, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was very rude. And I said, well, are there books? I said, I would read the books. And he said, yes. And so he wrote out a list of books.
Wow.
And I went to the local library, and they had all but one of them. Oh. And I checked them out, and I read them, and I was astonished.
Oh, wow.
I knew we were being lied to about Lincoln. And
that's super interesting.
About World War I. I knew that Wilson was a terrible president. But I had no idea of this overwhelming material about communist subversion in America. And so I mentioned this. I took one of these books into the classroom, and Mrs. Hill told me that I was reading a narrow-minded book.
Oh.
That the narrow-minded books would make me narrow-minded. And this is the woman who'd always told us how liberals are broad-minded and read all kinds of books, and they're against censorship. So it occurred to me, well, I knew they were lying about Lincoln. Now I know they're lying about McCarthy. So probably most of what I'm hearing is a lie. And that began my life as a thought criminal.
Yes. I knew you were a lot of things, Sam. I never knew you were a thought criminal. You know, you mentioned one of my people. I think he's probably one of my favorite people in the old days. And I think he's 64 when you went to the Barry Goldwater. He was running for president of Barry Goldwater. What, 1964?
Yeah.
I think he's the one that says something like, I'm going to stumble over here, so I know you'll know it. He says something like, a fanaticism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
Yeah, extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice, and moderation in the country is no virtue, yeah.
Correct.
That came, by the way, straight from Cicero, the Roman, the Roman philosopher. But the media, of course, hailed this as just the most horrible statement imaginable.
Oh.
Something you read in philosophy books.
Oh.
And it's obviously true. Yeah, but they just turned it. Extremism is no vice. That became their battle cry.
I've never forgotten that. At least I could come close to paraphrasing it. But yes, you know, people will call us extremists. Well, yeah, you know, because and this is all relating back to how you got into this so-called movement, for lack of better terms, because you love your God, your country, soul, your soul, people and soul, you know, you love that, and love your way of government, you love your religion, just you love all that stuff, and you don't want to lose it to godless communism. So if you like that, if you do join an organization like the League of the South, if you have a radio program like me and Sam Scott and James, then you're labeled nowadays as an extremist, a radical, all the old buzzwords, you know, homophobe, racist, bigot. But I told you, at one time when I remember when I was in school, this may be a rabbit trail, one of our teachers talked about how evil McCarthy was, you know, and well, Sam, he was totally right, wasn't he? McCarthy was right on the money, wasn't he?
Well, we know now, as a matter of fact, that he was, because when the Soviet Union collapsed, for a short period of time, historians could actually get in the Soviet archives.
Oh.
And Mrs. Hill, the same teacher, got all emotionally excited one day by talking about a guy named Oppenheimer.
Oh.
And how he was one of McCarthy's victims.
Oh.
Well, when the archives were open, they had a little shrine. The communists had a shrine to Oppenheimer for all of the work he had done as a spy.
God.
So, you know, all these things, these people he accused are now known to be spies, but it doesn't stop our enemies. They go on now talk about McCarthyism, and they've changed the definition of McCarthyism. It no longer means falsely accusing somebody of being a liberal. It means of being a communist. It means any opposition to communism. And so you read the New York Times that Paul Robeson was a victim of McCarthyism. Well, Paul Robeson is well known. He made no secret of it. He was a member. He was a card-carrying member of the Communist Party.
Well, Sam, you know what? We're about to run out of time. Is there anything you would like to say about your life in general, about your life as an activist, as a patriot, for lack of better words, a Southerner, or in your association with Blood River Radio?
Anything? Nice to be alive. And we are alive.
Yes.
We have friendships that extend back thousands of years, and we have concerns about the thousands of years in the future. And we are complete, full, living human beings. And our enemies are the fools that believe our enemies. They're what I call the living dead. They're pod people.
I can remember that.
And they live but for nothing. They have no meaning in their lives.
No joy.
And we should be happy to be the people we are. I wouldn't be any other kind of person. My life is lived. I may have suffered a little or whatever and had some social rebuffs, but my life has been very meaningful. and I enjoy my life.
And I tell you what, people that come years after we're both gone will greatly benefit from you being here. That was the great Sam Dixon, my friend, your friend. God bless you. Thank you so much, Sam, for coming in here and celebrating the Blood River Radio's 50th.
I'm really a very humble man with much to be humble about, and I'm just grateful to have been here. Thank you, and thanks, Sam Bushman.
Thank you. Thank you. People, hang on. We're going to take another quick break. We're going to bring another superstar guest up here. And we'd like to thank Sam Dixon one more time. Good night, Sam. Thank you so much, brother.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. House Republicans are looking into White House security procedures after the discovery of cocaine near the West Executive Entrance. There's concern expressed from the Democratic side of the aisle in Congress as well.
This was cocaine in a bag. Next time, you could have another substance that could cause problems.
Congressman Henry Cuellar, Democrat from San Antonio, sits on the House Appropriations Committee that has jurisdiction over the Secret Service. He says he'll demand answers. The White House today complaining that there has been irresponsible reporting done on the scandal, implicating the Bidens in the discovery, which they say is not possible since the Bidens were gone at the time. President Biden will travel to Lithuania next week to attend a NATO summit. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan told reporters the alliance will demonstrate unity and resolve in support of Ukraine in its war against Russia. The summit also comes as NATO leaders try to bring Sweden swiftly into the alliance and as member nations Turkey and Hungary continue to oppose that. A teenager is under arrest in connection to the Baltimore mass shooting that killed two and wounded more than two dozen.
Baltimore police announced the arrest after a search warrant was executed on a residence early Friday morning. The department said detectives believe the 17-year-old male was involved in the shooting that happened early Sunday morning at a block party in the city's Brooklyn neighborhood. Police said three of the victims remain in the hospital. I'm Lisa Taylor.
A dangerous new TikTok challenge led to the deaths of four people in Alabama. Officials say the trend is called boat jumping, and it involves people of all ages launching themselves off of moving boats.
The four that we responded to, when they jumped off of the boat, they literally broke their neck. And
Rescue Squad Captain Jim Dennis said it's frustrating because the deaths were preventable. Meanwhile, authorities in New York City are running new public service announcements warning teens against subway surfing, a recent trend that's left several of them dead. This is USA News.
This ad furnished by Nesma Taju LLC. Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards, rent is due, bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
We should do what my brother did. He went to 27cash.com and got $3,000.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is different. They're one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope. My brother said it was fast and easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan of up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account as soon as the next day. Our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history.
Great news. I went to 27cash.com and we'll have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
People, dear Blood River Radio family, we're back again. We got this guest, his the first time ever appearance on Blood River Radio. I'm so excited to have him on. The Bearded Wonder has told me all about him. The Bearded Wonder, Rich Hamlin himself, he's over here eating delicious steak. I was bragging about my good sandwich, but that steak looks better. But oh well, I'm just grateful I got my steak. Anyway, Michael Gaddy, who's going right now, James told me that Michael Gaddy was one of the original guests coming on a long time ago when I think I was with what we used to call the bean field, Michael, out when me and James were out with Political Cesspool out in Tipton County, Tennessee. And he just told me something vaguely, I'm getting longer in the tooth. He said you were down there on the Mexican border with did they have the Minutemen? Were you part of the Minutemen down there?
Yes, sir. I was one of the leaders of the Minuteman Project.
Tell us all about that. That's the most exciting news I've heard. That's the most exciting thing I've heard today. Go tell us all about that.
Well, I, at the time, lived in Tucson. And we had horses, and I loved to ride, and we would ride into the desert. And I was seeing so many signs that were really troubling, you know, layup spots where they would come across. And so I started talking with some other folks, and then I heard about Chris Simcox.
Chris Simcox, yes.
Now, I heard about him, and I contacted him. He had been a school teacher in California, and after 9/11, he had moved to Arizona, and he had taken his retirement and bought himself a newspaper.
Oh.
And it was called the Tucson Tumbleweeds.
Oh.
Well, he was really putting out, you know, how, and, you know, it was a valid thought. Allegedly, we were attacked on 9/11. Why is our borders wide open? Because it makes no sense.
True. Oh, so true.
It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And so we had quite a bit of conversation, and then he got in touch with Jim Gilchrist, who was a retired Marine. Okay. He was in California, and he was on the same page. They were talking about, we've got to do something about this.
Yes.
So we went down in March of 2005. I did.
Was Joe McCutcheon with y'all?
Joe McCutcheon was with us. Yes, he was. But he wasn't there until we actually started.
Oh.
The month before, we kind of had a powwow. Let's get together, see how this is going to work. How are we going to do this? We drew up our own protocol. We actually brought in members of the Border Patrol, and we had them sit down with us, and we said, okay, we don't want to get crossways with you guys. We want to work together. And one of them said, well, you know, that would really help because we have a Border Patrol agent for every 11 miles of border.
Damn.
So we said, well, we would like to do it. And we decided at that time we wanted to do it either in April or October or both.
Okay.
Because those are the 2 months that see the most, because they try to avoid the heat. Of the summer. Because the desert in Arizona gets pretty warm.
I hitchhiked back when I was young, when I come home from across the water, and it does get hot as hell out there. But go ahead.
It does. So we decided we would do this, so we put everything together. We go down, start on the 1st of April, 2005. Now, I was...
That's about when I came on TPC. Yeah, so I remember that very well. We'll continue on.
We started, what we wanted to do on the border was, and our agreement with the Border Patrol was, okay, if we spot somebody, we notify you guys right away. We do not engage. We don't try to stop them. We don't do anything. We just call you, let you know where we are, what we're doing. So we had two lines. We had one that was called, what this was, and it was amazing when you go there, because the people came down, they sat in lawn chairs under shade, and they watched the border, because part of the border there was nothing but a barbed wire fence, and parts of it had been torn down, so there wasn't even the fence there. So we set up two lines, and I took the Huachuca line. Now the Huachuca line was in the mountains, and we had a lot of infiltration coming across the mountains, especially the drug trade. The people who were hauling in marijuana and cocaine and other stuff, they did not try to come the obvious ways. They tried to come through the mountains. So they would come across the Huachuca Mountains.
Is there a Marine base around? Is there a Fort Huachuca Marine base? Are you familiar with that?
Army.
Oh, Army. Okay. Army. Okay. Okay.
We used to call it Fort Hoochie Coochie.
Oh. Okay. I've never been there. I was drafted along to, 67, but I've never been there. But continue on.
You're fine. It was, we did not expect it to happen in the magnitude that it happened. Because in our plans, we said, if we can get 50 or 60 people to come down here and be on the border, we can make some noise. You know, we can actually say, say, here's Americans standing up to defend their own country.
Because that's equivalent to 500 miles, because they were having, if they had one agent, I think you said, for every 11 miles?
Every 11.
Well, that was like 550 miles in your recovery.
We were thinking, okay, we're going to be great here. Well, our opening day ceremony, we had a couple of newspapers there. Newspaper out of Phoenix, newspaper out of Tucson. We had a couple of others. And Tom Tancredo, who was a congressman from Colorado, who was big on immigration.
Okay.
He gave the opening presentation.
Wow. Okay.
So then we go out, we deploy. Yeah. And then suddenly it was kind of spooky, because suddenly we had hundreds of people showing up.
Oh.
Not 25, not 50, not 75. We had hundreds of people showing up. We had, you know, at one point in time, we set up, we decided, and we talked about it, we said, we have to watch out for an agent provocateur. Because
yes,
they're going to send somebody in here to make us look bad.
That was smart.
So what we did was we interviewed everyone. When they showed up, we interviewed. We got their ID. We made sure who we were dealing with. And that was a big help. Well, suddenly, we're 8-10 days in. We've got 300-400 people there on the border.
Damn.
And they were represented from all over the country. I mean, we had people. And then Barbara McCutcheon.
That's more than the Border Patrol agency had.
Yes. So then Barbara McCutcheon was working. She came with Joe, and Joe was actually flying the border.
Yeah, I remember that. He was from Arkansas, wasn't he? I remember him. I talked to him.
Yeah, he's a great guy. One of my best friends.
Is he still around?
Yeah, 91.
I've got to get him on my program. But continue on. I'm sorry. If you can't, when you, I know. This is, we're a real laid back radio show. If you get in touch with Joe, if you tell him to contact me, I would love to get him on.
Well, I'll call him up and threaten him.
Okie dokie. Well, this is fascinating. We continue. I don't interrupt you, but this is fascinating.
No, anytime, Eddie. We're good. And then suddenly we've got that many people on the border. And then we are getting an influx of foreign journalists who are coming to America to find out what the dickens is going on here. Because I remember specifically talking with people from France. We had people from Germany. We had people from Luxembourg. We had people from other places, because Europe was going through this.
Then you didn't piss the U.S. government off then. But.
Well, that's when George W. Bush came out and called us vigilantes.
Yes.
Said we needed to go home and let the government handle it.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So, but the thing of it was, is the boots on the ground, Border Patrol, they loved us.
I'll bet.
I mean, they were working with us. They were, it was just, and they were telling us where to look.
Oh.
So they said, and we even had one agent, and I certainly would never mention his name, but he told us, he said, when we find a hot trail where they're using it, the supervisors in Tucson will move us somewhere else.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Hey, Dennis.
So
wow,
we begin to see that this was a plan.
Yes,
this whole thing was planned. Well, the next thing we know, I go in for a morning meeting. There was a Bible college there in the town. So I went to the Bible college.
You know, Mark, I hate to say it, but we're almost out of time. We're doing these to say, but continue on. Sam just gave me the high sign. He's allowing 10 minutes per guest. Roughly, what eventually happened overall to the operation? I think I know, but for the benefit of our listening audience.
Well, Barbara McCutcheon was telling us, we've got all of these people calling in, and they say, we're sorry, we can't be there. We'd like to donate.
Oh.
So there were times that in the station there, Barbara McCutcheon told us that they were getting sometimes as much as $10,000 a day.
Wow.
From Americans who were really concerned about this and wanted to help. And they thought, well, if we can't be there, maybe we can, you know, we can donate. And so we immediately went to Chris Simcox and Jim Gilchrist, and we said, hey, we've got to track that money, every penny, because if we don't, they'll turn it on us.
Yes. Well, what eventually happened, what was the final result, what was the end result of the Minuteman Project and the project you were in? Was it sabotaged by the government pretty much where you
had? Sabotaged by the Republican Party.
Say that again.
It was sabotaged by the Republican Party.
I hope you people hear that. The Republicans are they're no damn good, just like the Democrats.
The Republican Party people came to the border, got Jim Gilchrist and Chris Simcox, took them to Washington, D.C. for 6 days, promised them they would run them for Congress, and told them, get back there and shut that down.
Golly.
As soon as they got back, they told us. They said, okay, we're going to shut down. And we said, no, you're not. They said, well, yes, we are. And I said, well, you shut down if you want to. We're not.
Okay.
We're here for the month. We've made a commitment. We've got people driving here now that we made a commitment to. So we're not going to stop.
But eventually, what happened in the end? We're almost out of time.
Eventually, they took in something over $3 million, and nobody ever saw a penny of it. And Chris Simcox is now in prison, and I'm not sure what happened to Jim Gilchrist.
That is so sad. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Michael.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much for your time. We'll get you on again soon.
All right.
Hopefully.
Sure.
Keep it up. Thank you, people. That was an outstanding guest. I remember that from the good old days. But listen, we got to take a quick break. We're running out of time. We got to bring another guest on here.
Fighting for the soul of liberty and true pursuit of happiness for everyone. Freedom Fest 2023 is coming to the home of the blues and birthplace of rock and roll, Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through 15th. It's the ultimate summit for liberty, educating and empowering through art, music, film, and comedy, while promoting economic freedom and highlighting today's political issues. Use promo code ROUND50 to save $50 off the current rate. Reserve your spot at freedomfest.com. See you in Memphis.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. Just in case you're just tuning in, but if you're just tuning in, it's almost too late. But we're up here at beautiful Travelers Rest, South Carolina, with me and James and Sam. Zach drove up here from Memphis yesterday, the long-ass drive. But anyway, we're up here for the fifth. We got a whole big room full. Sam has rented this venue. Great restaurant, great food, great people. But the big thing is all these people come up here because of Blood River Radio. They love us, and they're respecting us, and they come up here to pay tribute to us for our successful 5-year run here at Blood River Radio. Well, we have a guy here, and you know how old and forgetful I am. I'm going to ask him to tell his name on the radio. We're going to have tomorrow, there's going to be this big thing called Dixie Fest up here. But I'm not going to tell much about it because I'm going to get the guy who owns this big, great business up here. I'm going to get him telling his name. He's one of the Jolly Boys. I'm just calling him maybe like a Jolly Roger. But anyway, fella, tell me your first name again. And
I go by, my moniker is Man's Jolly, and I'm surrounded by the Jolly Boys.
Yeah, there you go, Man's Jolly. Okay, that's the moniker. So tell us a little about the business you have, about the festivities you're going to be going on tomorrow, and what time it starts, et cetera, et cetera.
We have the world's largest Confederate Southern memorabilia retail location. And tomorrow we're going to have our annual Dixie Fest. We're going to start about 10 a.m. We're going to go to about 10 p.m. We're going to have live bands, food vendors, bouncy houses, Dunkin' booth with Joe Biden. We're going to have a Southern Nationalist. We're going to have a conference here. It's going to be a great family, fun, friendly entertainment venue. You don't have to worry about drive-by shootings and knives. It's the motto here is we're all friends. We've just simply not met yet.
You know, I've been told, people have told me that a stranger is somebody I hadn't met yet because of the way my personality and everything is. But, you know, tell us a little bit about, I know you weren't the original owner of Dixie Republic. tell us a little bit about how it got started, why it got started, and some of the reasons that you're continuing on. I know it's not all to make money. I know that for sure because I know you. Tell us a little bit about the merchandise you carry, and don't leave out the crafts, the leather and stuff that I almost forgot earlier. But tell us about a little bit about why you started, why you keep going, because that's got to be one hell of a lot of work for this Dixie Fest tomorrow.
I'm not the original founder. The original founder is Scott Goldsmith. He was a local artist and professor. He's actually had exhibitions up in New York.
Wow.
But he was strong in his Southern beliefs. You would have to ask him his motivations and reasons for starting the business. My reasons was I had retired. I was in Mexico. And I came back to the States. And I was going to sell everything. Except one piece of property. So I always had my foothold up in the up country of South Carolina. Then the coronavirus BS came about. They had travel restrictions.
Uh-huh.
Well, Scott was going to retire, and I knew nobody else would carry it on.
Wow.
Unless I bought it. So I bought it, and this is me and my wife's contribution to the Southern people and the greater cause.
That is big. That's huge, you know. And I'd like to add, I saw the inventory. It's got to be a lot of work. And this Dixie Fest you're talking about tomorrow, just the number of tents you bring in, the work, and it's been hot recently. Thank God it was kind of cloudy today, but it still doesn't take away from the gargantuan amount of work goes into this. But I like it because you said, here's what I like. It tells a lot about your character. You said, once Mr. Goldsmith retires, it pretty much be gone. And you wanted to keep this legacy up because you love your people. You love your Southern heritage. You believe it. You're a strong believer in the Southern heritage. I mean, you may be making some money, but my God, the work's involved in that. That's a great calling. I salute you for doing that. So tell us a little bit about what are your favorite, one of my favorite things there. I know, well, I like the whole thing, but tell us a little about the arts and crafts. Is this the man over there? Does he actually does gun work, doesn't he? Like,
He does gun work, but his main focus is custom leather. He'll do holsters and belts and motorcycle seats. He'll do Western rigs. Anything with leather, that's what he focuses on mainly. He tinkers with guns, and he'll sharpen knives and tools. He's quite a character. It's called Johnny Reb's Lead, Leather, and Steel. And he's open Wednesday through Saturday from 10 to 6.
You know, Johnny Reb's quite the historian, too. You know, he looks up to some of the characters like I do. He's a big admirer of the Waffen SS. You know, there used to be a guy, I used to listen to him. He had his own radio program, probably maybe before y'all's time. His name was G. Gordon Liddy. And G. Gordon was a super sharp FBI agent. It's said that he was slated to take over J. Edgar Hoover's off as his spot as head of the FBI until he got busted. He was one of the plumbers, I think, in the Watergate thing. But he had his own radio show, and golly, I'm trying to forget where I got myself, told myself off track. I thought where I was going. I kind of forget where I was going that G. Gordon Liddy story. It'll come to me in a minute. But anyway, I wish I could remember that. It'll come to me in a minute. But anyway, this arts and crafts show, arts and crafts, and he works on guns. So what are some of the crowd favorites, the people that come here to Traveler's Rest and to Dixie Republic, what is one of the favorite items or activities that they like when they come here, if you know of?
Well, one of the things that they appreciate is I have a 1892 German sculptor.
Wow.
the sculpture that I have is called The Lady in the Clock. Last I saw, it was valued at $72,600.
God.
I have it in the store because I want our people to see what true art is, not this modern
crap
yeah. that is called art, but true art and the talent it took to create that.
You know, we have a great show. One of our co-hosts is Monica Schaefer. I don't know if you ever heard of her, but if you've heard of her, you know she paid the price. She was imprisoned in Germany for a while for so-called Holocaust denial. But she said, when you're speaking of arts, it made me think of Monica. She said that the Jews they have taken control of our society. It's in their literature. One of the things they want to do is they want to make music ugly. They want to make art ugly. They're into making everything ugly. So, and that was one, believe it or not, that's one of the things I thought of when I saw that beautiful piece of art today, when you're pointing it out. So, is there any tips you could give people wanting to come to Dixie Republic? It starts tomorrow. I think you said it goes from 10 to 10. Is that right? Is there any tips you could give them about coming up here? Any, like, any certain highways?
We're easy to find. We're on Highway 25. It's easy to find. Google Dixie Republic. It's 1315 Highway 25 North, Travelers Rest, South Carolina. I wanted to mention, whenever I took this store over, I took it over from an artist and a historian.
Oh.
Times have changed. My past is not a historian or an artist.
Me either.
My history, and if you'll remember the first time we met.
Yes, I do.
I was doing protective services yes. for David Duke.
Yes.
That is my background.
Yes.
And I make sure that everyone shows up there is in a safe, friendly environment.
That is...
We do not tolerate any fools.
God bless you, brother. You should be. That's my favorite song.
We are not a public entity or public property. We're private property. And two things rule that property: me and God. And if the devil shows up, he can protest in the highway and compete against 18-wheelers. If he crosses the Rubicon, snowflakes come here and melt, and the woke come here to sleep.
That you can't say it any better than. Well, by God, that's a great interview. I tell you what, I'm certainly going to be there tomorrow. Me and James and Sam and Sam's son-in-law Zach, we're going to be there. Matter of fact, I may be helping James. James is going to be broadcasting live tomorrow. TPC as we'll be broadcasting. We'll be broadcasting from 3 to 6. Oh, tell him a little bit about the Confederate Corner.
The Confederate Corner. That's where you have coffee, conversation, and more. It's a southern solution to socialist Starbucks.
And you can get coffee there, and they had cookies there.
You get free coffee, free cookies, free Wi-Fi. It's a reading area. There's books that we sell there, but there's also books that we don't sell there. But you can read them while you're on property.
I went there today, and it's so relaxing. It kind of reminds me. They don't have cigars there, but there's a place back home.
We do have cigars.
Oh, you? Oh, wow!
I have a large selection of cigars.
You do.
But we go on the front porch to smoke them.
Okay. Well, you know, that reminds me, but there's a place called Tobacco Bowl at home. And mostly the older guys, there's some young guys that come in there, and they're all in there, and they can smoke their cigars there without people bitching about their cigar smoke, you know. But listen, I guess we're...
You would be surprised who I smoke cigars with just about every Monday.
Oh.
And we're talking $100 million people. easy.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I hadn't had a cigar in years, but it almost makes me want to get a cigar. Well, I guess we're just about. That's just about it. Listen, I want to appreciate that so much as you're coming on, Mr. Jolly. And it's been a delight, and it's even going to be more delightful when I come over there tomorrow. I'm going to get my dear co-host. If I don't get anybody anything, Nancy Hitz always sending me stuff, and I'm going to get her something and some of my other co-hosts. God bless you. All the success. All the best wishes tomorrow at Dixie Fest.
This is for all of us. This is our thing.
Yes, sir. God bless you. Thank you so much. Well, people, you just heard it from Mr. Dixie Fest himself and Mr. Dixie Republic. So we got one more guest. We're gonna wrap this whole thing up. This will be the ending of the fifth year reunion or celebration for Blood River Radio.
Happy anniversary!
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Bye bye, folks. We'll be back in a few minutes.